The last few weeks we've been looking at Colossians, Jesus, the heart of everything. And this morning we come to the last chapter, which Paul wrote in prison to the people in Colossae. Jesus, the heart of our purpose. I'm going to ask Ian to come and read the whole of that chapter. If you want to follow, I don't know if it'll be up there or in your Bible, the last chapter, chapter 4.
Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas.
You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, for they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, Demas and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read out to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. May God bless the sharing of his word.
Jesus, the heart of our purpose. What does it mean? What does it actually mean for him to be the heart of our purpose? God asks us to love him with all of our hearts. And to love others, not just those that are nice to us, but to show kindness, forgiveness, as God has shown to us. In the natural, that's hard to do, isn't it? To love someone and forgive someone that's been pretty horrible to us. In the natural, it's nearly impossible, to be really honest. We need to have God so much within us that we can do it through his grace. Jesus, the heart of everything. I remember Ian a long time ago talking about the coffee pot. I might have even mentioned it before. But he said, we're like a coffee pot without the lid. And God pours and pours and pours his love and grace into us. And out of the spout, it comes onto others. And that's the only way we can show people that perhaps aren't very nice to us the love of God. By having him poured into us so much. Now every now and then I have to descale my kettle. And every now and then we have to descale our coffee pot. We have to ask the Lord to come in and cleanse us as he pours. Because he's not going to pour his love and grace on dirt. So sometimes we have to have that poured into us that it will come out of the spout. And it can even surprise us sometimes what God can do when we allow him to have the full purpose of our being. So much of Paul's letter, all the way through those four chapters, is about prayer. There's a man in prison, chained in prison. He could be saying, I'm fed up with this. You know, why don't you lot pray or come and gang them up and get me out? He didn't. His heart was for churches. He wrote many letters while he was in prison, encouraging, loving, sometimes having to tell them off. But that's okay. I read a survey and it really, really upset me. It said the average Christian spends 5 minutes a day in prayer. Well, if that's true, how can I expect Jesus to be the centre of my purpose, the centre of my life, if I'm giving him 5 minutes a day? And one of them might be, thank you, Lord, for my food, amen. How can I have a relationship with someone if I don't spend time with them? I love that hymn. It's special to me. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what sin I often fall for. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because I did not carry everything to God in prayer. It's about making time, allowing Jesus to speak to me too. That's another thing, isn't it? If I'm on the phone to you and I yak, bye and put the phone down and you're saying, well, I'm just going to say, actually, I've got a friend like that. And she'll talk, and I go to her and she'll go, right, I must go. And sometimes, you know, we can be like that with the Lord. We take him our shopping list. It's about making time, allowing him to speak to us, to be the uttermost purpose in my life. I personally feel, and in fact the Holy Spirit has told me, convicted me, not condemned me, but convicted me of spending too much time playing cribbage, playing solitaire on my phone. I can be on it and I look and I think, I've been there over an hour. Have I spoke to Jesus for an hour? Have I spent time with my Lord for an hour? Daily I have a prayer and I've actually got it on my wall. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Well, Carol, if a deer is thirsty, it will go to the water. It will find a stream. It don't stand there saying, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. It will look for the stream. And if I really am saying, that's my prayer, the Lord calls me. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, the living water. I'm listening. Slowly. Sometimes. Jesus, the heart of my purpose, is more than a desire of my own wants. You know, I've been I was looking at a program, this is not in the, I was looking at a program we were about false teaching on the God Channel, and so much teaching is God wants to meet your wants, your desires, everything you want, you can have it. stamp your foot like a naughty child in a shop. I want. And we were horrified, weren't we, Ian, at some of the things we were hearing, that some ministers, pastors, preachers, with hundreds in their churches and that, are preaching this. Click your fingers and God will give it you. Sometimes we've got to lay down our own wants, our own desires. Sometimes it's difficult. But if we want God to be the main purpose in our life, and you know what? When it happens, it's wonderful. I wish I had time to tell you a little bit of my story. How when I had to, in the end, lay things down, and God came in and what he's done for me. Paul, although in prison, isn't sitting feeling sorry for himself. He isn't stamping his feet and shouting out, I shouldn't be here. You know, I've been doing this for God, I've been doing that for God. Why should I have to go through this? Instead, he's got a desire to encourage others, to bless others, to teach others. This whole letter we've been looking over the last few weeks is just this. To have Jesus in the centre of our lives. Not giving him the leftover at the end of the day if we've got any time left. You know, there's times, I remember having a picture years ago of inviting Jesus in to our house. But we let him come in the hallway, but we know the living room's in a terrible mess, so we don't let him in. Well, I've learned over the years that actually God likes to come in the mess. He likes to come in the mess. We can't just bring him into our Sunday service and praise him and say, that's lovely, but if you knew what I was going home to, he wants to be in those areas of our life as well. And when we allow him to come into those areas of our life, when we spend time in prayer, when we allow him to be the heart of our purpose, we can see some wonderful things, some wonderful changes in our life, all because of the cross. All because of what he done for us. It was so costly. Paul instructs masters to treat slaves fairly. Well, we haven't got slaves now, and I understand slaves then weren't like the slaves we see in like Roots and programs like that. They were more like workmen, really. They worked for people. They were not horrible things that we see on the television as slaves. But even so, they had masters. And Paul says, be kind. Be kind and be compassionate. Well, how can that speak to us today? We haven't got slaves around us, but you might be in a situation where you're a boss and you've got people under you. Be kind, be compassionate, even when you think they don't deserve it. Be compassionate to those outside, those that are sleeping rough. Do I walk by like the Levi did and close my eyes and think there's nothing to do with me? Or do I stop? Talk to them, even offer prayer, even go and buy them a sandwich. Do I care about them? Do I know their story? Oh, they're no good. That's why they're there. No, no, no. I don't know the stone that they've got in the shoe that makes them crippled. Paul tells the church to guard our thoughts. As we read in chapter 3, of this letter, verse 2, it said, set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. Paul encourages us to share our faith, not only walking around with a placard, you know, you'll be doomed if you don't know Jesus. He's not asking us to do that. But in our everyday life, that people will see Jesus. Sometimes we're the only Jesus people will see. We're the only Jesus that someone will meet. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That is having Jesus at the heart of our purpose. First, we need to recognise the Lordship and allowing God into our hearts to be King of our lives. Not the servant. Not the one who does what we tell him to do. I've done that. I used to think I was God's little helper sometimes. Well, God, if you'd done it this way, and if you went over there and you'd done that, that person might change. And if you'd done it this way... Oh, God was so gracious, he would listen to me. But he must have thought, oh, Carol, shut up. Let God be King and Lord of our lives is number one, if we want him to be the Lord of our purpose. To recognise that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords in our lives. Second, to make prayer a priority, spending time with him, seeking his purpose for us. You know, I'm getting old now. And I realise how much time I wasted trying to do it my way and not do it his way. You know, the Lord is interested in trivial things. How we need each other. How we need one another. We're a body. We're not an island. We're not on our own. Only this week I had a problem. Ian and I had been ministering to some very, very dark areas in people's lives that's been very difficult. And I realised I'd not put on the full armour of God. I realised I'd not taken Jesus in with me. I'd gone in my own strength. And so what happened? I felt weak. I felt drained. And then I had a problem in my own life. Something small, you might think. And what happened? Anxiety came in, big. Then I had the sense to pray. And I phoned a friend. And Carol came and sorted me out. Didn't you, Carol? She said, this isn't much. This isn't a problem. But added on to all the things that had gone on that I'd done in my own strength and without the Lord, it became a massive problem to me. I hadn't prayed. I hadn't taken God by the right hand. I hadn't walked into the lion's den without the full armour of God. You know, I had a lovely thing once. This was years ago when Ian was pastor and we had our annual general meeting. One of the elders stood up and said, every morning I put on the full armour of God. Every morning. And this young chap stood up and he went, why'd you take it off? You know that spoke to me. Because when's the evil one more likely to attack you? In bed? That spoke to me a lot. Why do we take it off? You know, it never rusts. We can never grow out of it. Jesus uses each other. We're a body. Paul had friends around him. He speaks of his friends. He speaks of them with such love and thankfulness. Thirdly, living a life caring for others. Any way God shows us. Someone we knew used to start the day by saying, who can I bless today, Lord? Would you show me someone I can bless? Isn't that a lovely way to start your day? Who can I bless today? Who is it you want me to go and help today? Who can I just give a smile to today? Living a life caring for others. I know some of you haven't got immense things you've got to care for. Loved ones, friends. God being the purpose in your life and having others to help us. Fourth, for the opportunity to share our faith. And one of the most loveliest ways is sharing our testimony. what God's done in our lives. You know, it's very powerful when we share our testimony. And all of us have got a testimony. Every one of us has got a testimony of what God has done in our life. And that is love. You know, that's something Jehovah's Witnesses haven't got. If they knock on your door, just ask them, would you tell me your testimony, what Jesus done for you? They haven't got one. And then you've got the opportunity to say, well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done for me. Having an opportunity to share our faith. I'm a bit of a naughty girl. I like young men. Ian will tell you, but I go into the shop and if I see the guy that's serving, he's got his name, don't I? James. I go, oh, I love that name, James. Do you know I'm in the Bible? And I start talking to them. There's a poor guy in Lidl's. He ducks, I think, when he sees me, because I say to him, his name's Daniel. And I'm telling him about Daniel. And he went, he said, I will read about it, I promise. And then I go up to him the next week, I have you. He went, and now I think he goes, oh no. But we have opportunity, just a little opportunity like that, a name badge. Put a track in your purse, in your bag, in your pocket. I remember at Stockbrook, there was a young man serving, and his name was James. And I said to him, do you know James? No. I said, if I get you the book on James, would you read it? He said, I promise. So I did. Now, he could have just taken them, thought, you silly old fool. Yeah, I'll take it. Put it in the paper, recycling. But he'd not only read it, he said to me, I've read it twice and I've given it to my partner to read. We never know what little seed we're flicking out. So be prepared to share your faith in any way you can. An opportunity to share it. I want Ian to write a book on the opportunities he has in prison, sharing his faith with men. They've got nothing. And now walking with the Lord. Because Ian shared his faith. It hasn't got to be as big as that. It could just be like me saying to someone in a shop, I like your name, do you know who that is in the Bible? Share him. Being prepared to share that. And by golly, don't our world need Jesus now? Doesn't it need Jesus? Fifth. Pray for those in need, the persecuted Christians. Paul was being persecuted, he asked for prayer. I thank God for Open Doors, Tear Fund and others like this who work so hard, so very hard. We had a man years ago, a bishop, Simeon. He stayed with us and he was from Burundi. And he was caught baptising. And he was put in a hut to be in a prison. And I can't remember the size, but it was less than the size of a cell in a prison. And he was naked. And he said the bottom of his feet were like monkey's feet, all just cut open. And they used to slide under his food. And it was Mother Teresa's nuns that got him out. He's not alone. There's so many people in prison. So many people being persecuted. Just because they love Jesus. Jill, what's her surname? Iscock, is that right? Iscock. Once a month has prayer for the persecuted church. And it saddens me, there might be three of us there praying. There's people that are relying on our prayers, just like Paul was in prison. So we have a question, don't we? Is Jesus the heart of everything? Most of it? Some of it? Some days? Depends how I feel. Is he the heart of everything? Because if Jesus was the heart of everything, my life, and I say to you too, your life, would be so very, very different. So very, very different. Because if I truly said, no longer I liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, when things happen in my life, it couldn't affect me, could it? Because it's not me. It's Jesus. I've got a long way to go yet, but I am work in progress. Is he the heart of everything in our lives? Do we want him to be? Do we want him to be? The letter starts and finishes with the same thing, this book, this letter. And it was to the churches then, but today it's to Tyne Road. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. And the last verse says, grace be with you. Amen. Thank you.